Good morning. Today is Friday. Yay.
Good morning.
July the 21st. Joining us this morning, live and in color for all to see and hear, Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. It's good to be back. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Yes. Either way, both ways, it works for both of us, doesn't it? Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find one worthy of this show. I really do not like some of these quotes. We're going to have to get a new
one. Might be time for a new quote book, Brian.
Yeah.
We're digging deep. Is that the last page?
Oh, I mean, all the Proverbs, and they're all kind of like heavy-duty stuff. And it's like, yeah, come on, where's the fun stuff? Maybe there isn't one on this one. Oh. God, these are just horrid. Here we go. I'll use one from 2 months ago. It's still a good one. Great men, like nature, use simple language.
We'll try to keep that motto for the show today.
Yeah. You know, maybe I'd just grab the other book. The ones we've got about 5 inches of paper that might actually have something we can use. So what's keeping you awake these nights?
Oh, keeping us awake. There's actually a lot of good stuff happening in Arcata this summer. One of the most exciting pieces is that we just had a piece of property transferred to the community. It's 19 acres on the Mad River. So the city of Arcata literally has one parcel in the entire city limits that touches or crosses the Mad River.
Oh, it's on the north side of the river?
Well, it's on the south side of the river, but yeah, exactly. Partially. It's predominantly on the south side of the river, but the parcel does actually cross all the way over. And it's right off of Gentoli. It's on Carlson Park Drive. And it was a piece of property that Caltrans had purchased to do some mitigation work.
So it's down by the bridge over the Mad River?
It is, let's see, do you know where the, if listeners know where the Country Store is or Mad River Tackle, it's right behind.
TP Tire and then just
towards
the river.
Yeah, right across the street, you just walk to the river. Oh. So the community now owns 19 acres right there along the river.
Isn't the fancy word contiguous?
Contiguous with...
Instead of connected? Yeah, let's throw in some extra syllables. Yeah.
No, we are keeping it simple. That was our quote of the day. Simple language.
So you got a chunk of property.
Mm-hmm. So we have a volunteer work day out there this Saturday at 9 o'clock if folks want to come out and see the property or
help. That'll be tomorrow?
That'll be tomorrow.
So you take your radio and listen to the shopping show and go out and do something for the
community.
That's
right, for the community. So at 9 a.m., they'll be meeting out there at the park site. It is a gorgeous site along the Mad River. It's a great swimming hole, apparently a good fishing hole. There is a great gravel bar. You can, you know, get out to the river just a little bit and then get over to the gravel bar and relax. And it's a very nice space.
So is this going to be a new park?
It'll be a new park, yeah.
You got a name for it yet?
Extension of Carlson Park. We have one small lot that came with the Mad River Industrial Park development called Carlson Park after Ellen Zancy's family name was Carlson. This property was on her side, and so this will be an extension of Carlson Park.
Same family?
Yep, same property. It was once all in that same ownership. And when they did the development, we got a small parcel associated just for parkland, and now we've expanded it 19 more acres.
It's 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the county is looking at saddling, I think is a nice word.
<Uh-oh>.
The Sheriff's Department with code enforcement responsibilities.
Okay.
There's a mindset, which I kind of subscribe to, that code enforcement is different than law enforcement. Completely different critter, completely different knowledge and skill set. Everything's more civil than criminal most times.
Mm-hmm.
With some of the challenges that every jurisdiction has in Humboldt County, whether it's smoking, whether it's drugs, whether it's this, whether it's that, an awful lot of it is connected to code enforcement. We can talk about environmental issues and all that other kind of stuff. Has there been a move for cities throughout the state, and perhaps throughout the country too, to expand not law enforcement, because I don't think you need to have somebody with that skill set and that compensation level to be the code enforcers, whether it's illegal camping in the park, on the beach, loitering, whatever it might happen to be. Is there a burgeoning area now for code enforcement that cities really do need to start looking at, as the marijuana propagation stuff is starting to come in, homelessness is, whether it's we're just getting accustomed to it or there's just more of it, or what, to deal with some of these things so that the cops don't?
Complicated question that you asked this morning when we were keeping language simple, but
code enforcement without anything else.
Code enforcement for the city touches every single department. It touches the police department, community development, planning, environmental services, finance sometimes. It crosses all departments. So we right now house code enforcement in our building division under our building official. But really, that department acts as a coordinator to make sure that complaints that come in, whether it's accumulation of solid waste at a property that typically might just be enforced by environmental services, or it's a person running an auto mechanic shop and there's 10 cars that are parked in the garage and spilling out into the street in a residential sector and you have a zoning violation. So, or you could have more serious offenses where the police department really do need to come in. Or it could be a finance issue where they haven't paid their water and sewer and we want to turn them off, but there's still six people living there. And you end up with the code enforcement there. So, regardless of where code enforcement is held in a community, I suspect that in this case, if it was the sheriff's department, really is going to be coordinating with all of those other departments to figure out what is the best response. I think the other piece of your question, though, is really talking to, there are a lot of community issues that we continue to look to our police, public safety forces to solve for us, and that we're not gonna, as I say, write enough tickets to stop smoking on the plaza. That's really not a solution for how we get around, some of those community-based structural concerns that we're dealing with. Law enforcement is not going to be able to arrest our way out of those situations. And quite frankly, as you mentioned, it's either one, just two, it's a very expensive way. It's been a non-effective way that we've tried, I think, for a lot of years. So the big focus for Arcata was the construction this year of a public safety task force. And I would say 75-80% of the impetus behind that was this very concept that we need community solutions to public safety issues, from creating, additional neighborhood collaborations, whether it's a traditional neighborhood watch or whether it's a neighborhood welcoming program to try to make sure that people know each other in that neighborhood to stop specific burglaries in specific areas. Whether it's coming up with, volunteers and activities that house fun things to do on the plaza every day to start to change the climate and make it comfortable for families and visitors to spend time on the plaza during the week or on the weekends. So, there is a whole host of solutions, I think, whether it's working in, on some of our homeless services concerns. Again, that's not going to be something that we work on, through law enforcement, but we have a lot of community groups right now that are working on solutions to housing. So the public safety task force would also look at how do you pull those resources together to start coming up with community-generated solutions that have private partnerships within the business community or the residential community that we can take a real change in direction as opposed to just additional calls for service to the 911 system.
So it's not plaza-centric?
No, community-wide. And actually, the task force has divided up a lot of the work into various neighborhoods. You know, how can, because the neighborhood issues are really different between, you know, a predominantly residential sector, or as we talked about, you know, the new Carlson part is out in the Valley West. They've got real mixed of high density housing and a mixed business, you know, shopping areas, and then a lot of manufacturing and light industry. So, you know, each neighborhood has a real different set of issues that they're contending with.
You mentioned community services for the homeless. What is the legal obligation?
The cities aren't funded to provide the level of service. You know, most of that comes through the county, through Health and Human Services. But our cities certainly feel the ramification of a loss of housing for folks. So we have a number
of people. So it's a shelter issue. It's not services for homeless.
It's shelter and housing predominantly. But in the interim, it's how do you provide at least some basic levels of food and connections to services.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Karen, some of the different challenges that summertime presents are predictable, and some are reoccurring, and others are not. Construction projects typically are not reoccurring. You've got a pretty healthy list on your plate of what we've talked about over the months leading up to summertime. Are they all getting punched out? Are they all where you would like them to be at this point of the construction year?
Yeah, we do have all of our projects on schedule this summer. We just completed retrofit to what we call the Jolly Giant Dam, which is an old basin dam up in the Arcata Community Forest that was part of the historic City of Arcata water system. Been trying to get the dam out of regulatory oversight for a number of years.
Not so. The Heritage Society coming in and telling you what to do with it.
No.
Just old as in yeah. Historical, not
right. Old as in no longer being used. Yeah.
Mothballed.
But still being regulated. So we still go through a number of hoops to keep it, you know.
Even if it's not being used?
Absolutely. Because it could plug and it could create a huge water dam, and then it could break, and then it could create flooding.
Then it becomes a dam again and gets used.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
Or then it becomes a danger to the downstream property. So so we just finished up that project. We are well underway on our reconstruction of Buttermilk. So folks in that area, thank you for your patience, because there is a lot of work. We're doing all of the underground water and sewer connection work, obviously, before we do the big overlay.
That's the squares on the side of the road?
Those are. Now, there is also a huge PG&E main gas line project that's going in on 11th Street in Arcata. And so folks, I know, have had a lot of delays with that project. And
PG&E's
so
doing that all over the joint.
I think they are.
San Bruno.
Yes, it definitely is a direct result out of San Bruno. They have actually even created some new technology in terms of their leak detection on that gas system, and they're moving throughout the state. So we're thankful that they're there, but they are very large projects.
Now, with that project, Fortuna, I know, has got a little bit, Eureka looks like it has measles.
Yeah.
they do the patchwork. Do they also then come in with an overlay so the areas that were cut don't become these independent moving elements?
They're certainly being requested to do that in Arcata. In addition, you know, and then there's a lot of sidewalk work and driveway work depending on which areas that they go through. So similar to what would we require of ourselves of any project. You know, they do need to come back and
make it at least as good as,
11th Street was in very good shape before we started this project, so we wanted to, you know, be restored to that condition as well.
Is that a battle?
I hope not. It shouldn't be. You know, PG&E has been a good partner for us in the past, but they do certainly need to be asked, as does anyone. And they work with a lot of different contractors.
I would bake that in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, that's part of going in and tearing is to take it back.
Absolutely. And they understand that. They do.
Right. But for you to have to make the overture.
Yeah.
Or the city.
Right.
To have to make the overture to me seems less than neighborly. How's that?
I'm sure they'll do the right thing.
Uh-huh. So you got the new park.
We have the new park.
What's it going to look like at the end? I mean, as it's part of all of your parks, I know there's been some issues with maintenance, vandalism, interaction, goofy stuff going on different times of the day and night.
Now those are the things that keep me up at night. You asked about that earlier.
Yeah. Oh, God. Finally got that answer taken care of. Now, 19 acres in little old Arcata is a pretty good splash in
it
the
is.
Pond.
Yeah.
Do you have staff to be able to maintain it to the level where you're not going to be having to send the cops out or code enforcement or having neighbor complaints or and it becomes something people use and enjoy?
Yeah. Well, that's the key. Use and enjoy. We need the public to come out. And it really is a premier river site right in the, you know, city limits of Arcata. So I think the proximity and access to the river will bring enough people out. And that is the hope. I mean, that's really what we are counting on, is that there's enough community use to keep the type of uses appropriate for the site.
Any services that are going to need to be put in place? Any infrastructure?
We will start with the volunteer cleanup day this weekend. We will start to map out the trail system that will go through that. It is along the riverfront, so it's not like we're going to clear everything and pave up to the river. You know, that's not appropriate use of the riverbank.
So no RVs will be able to get in park
down to the river. We would like to have a non-motorized boat launch. I mean, that's the real hope, is to be able to have a solid canoes, paddle boards, kayaks, rafts, surfboards, you know.
Tubes.
It's actually a good place to paddleboard in that area of the Mad River, especially if you catch the tide rights. And
it's still tidally influenced at that point,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we'll start to do that clearing and that trail development. We have about a full acre of upland that's very developable. Part of that will be a parking lot, but we could do other uses. So we'll start.
Bathrooms?
Could do bathrooms. We could.
Do you have the sewer lines running out there?
I mean, you say RV. I mean, that would maybe be a stretch because it's not a huge area, but we could do a small area for, you know, six or seven sites of some sort. So we will start the community planning process for that this year as well.
Can it be a profit center?
Legally.
It
can't.
Not
our arrangement, our transfer from Caltrans of that property, we can't generate a profit, but it's a large enough property that we would never generate a profit. You know, if we had, let's say, a person that was doing rentals of kayaks from that site, ensuring that all that money goes back into that property would be easy. I mean, you know, we'll never generate enough money off that property that wouldn't just cover the cost of maintenance, and that we could do.
So the city was in a strong enough financial position to be able to accept this?
At this point, yes. I mean, every time we take on a new property, it's a balance with the community. This is such a premier site along the river. It was been something that this community had worked on, and that neighborhood is probably the most efficient in park space that we have. So this became a priority site well over a decade ago. So we're going to have to create the resources to make it work.
I love putting you in the corner like that. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 847. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, as the new budget year is kind of settling in, the dust, so to speak, is kind of there, were there any last-minute surprises, pluses or minuses?
One of them I mentioned last month, which came in. I mean, it didn't come in at the end. It had been talked about in goal setting with the council. But we were looking for money throughout the budget process to fund it, and that was for the city of Arcata to opt up to the 100% renewable electricity that's now being provided through the Redwood Coast Energy Authority's Community Choice Energy. So,
was there a cost associated with that?
For the city, yeah. So you pay about $1 a kilowatt hour. Or a penny, sorry, not a dollar. Sorry about that, Matthew Marshall over there at RCEA.
Okay.
A penny a kilowatt hour. So for the city of Arcata, that for all of our municipal operations, the electricity usage will cost us about $29,000. So yeah, it was a significant cost, but we are 100% renewable electricity for all of our operations.
Okay, the tacky non-PC question at the moment is, why is it worth it? Why is $29,000 instead of being put some to the park?
Right.
Is going to this.
Right. So you look, again, we talk about this a lot. You look at the balance of putting money into the park system, putting money into the environmental advancement of our community. That's been a long-standing value for Arcata, to get off of the fossil fuel cycle that has been very degrading, both locally, obviously, nationally, and worldwide. So climate change is an important topic for the city of Arcata, and reducing what we call that carbon footprint, or our emissions and contribution towards climate change, is a very important project for Arcata to work on. We've had, it's probably been 10 years since we adopted our greenhouse gas reduction plan, and the number one real contribution of city operations is our electrical use.
So what's the total nut each year? The additional premium cost associated with that position?
$29,000.
Oh, there was no cost up to that?
Well, just the cost
of preceding
our electricity.
10 years? Of all of the things to reduce the carbon footprint?
Well, we've done a lot of projects. So we do electrical upgrades. We do lighting upgrades. We've done heating and ventilation changeouts. I mean, we're constantly, and then we've done a lot of solar, too. So we've done a lot of alternative energy projects.
Has the solar paid for itself yet?
At this point, yeah, all of the solar, well, we installed a little bit last year. So, somewhere between a 5 and 10 year payback period. The LED lighting is also a big one you see a lot of the communities doing. It's probably been 4 years since the city changed out all of our street lights to LED. That had a 7 year payback period, so we have about 3 years left to pay back the
cost
of that retrofit.
And then from that point out, it's better?
Then it's all money back. So
nice to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back this
month. Hopefully
it
wasn't too complicated with our words other than collaboration. See everybody on Monday.